Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome back to As It Is, the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Today, we have a very interesting story for you. It concerns a freedom that we enjoy in the United States that can easily start verbal arguments or even fistfights. Then, we will turn to Southeast Asia, where thousands of Thai migrant workers are fleeing to Cambodia following the recent military overthrow of the government. The situation has been described as very serious by those who have seen it. We'll give you details about what is happening. As It is on the air from VOA, Washington. Saturday marks the 25th anniversary of a major legal ruling on free speech in the United States. The Supreme Court ruled that burning the American flag as a form of political protest is a protected act of free speech under the U.S. Constitution. The vote was 5-4. Many Americans opposed the court's decision at the time, and some still disagree with it today. The 1989 Supreme Court case on flag burning resulted from the actions of a man named Gregory Johnson. He was a demonstrator at the 1984 National Convention of the Republican Party. The convention delegates met in Dallas, Texas. They nominated Ronald Reagan for a second term as president. During a protest against Reagan administration policies, Gregory Johnson set fire to an American flag. He was arrested and charged with violating a Texas law on flag desecration, destroying or damaging a flag in public. Flag burning was often part of anti-war and anti-government demonstrations during the 1960s and early 1970s. Gregory Johnson appealed a Texas court's decision against him. His case went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court ruled that flag burning is legally protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of speech. Elliot Minkberg is a lawyer for a group called People for the American Way. He says the Supreme Court decision expanded the rights of free speech.
I do think it does say a lot positive about American ideals to be able to say, as the court did, and as the people have effectively agreed, that you can even take the symbol of our country and burn it and still not be prosecuted for that.
But 25 years later, the flag-burning case still fuels strong emotions, especially among former armed forces members. They see the flag as something representing democracy. Retired Army Master Sergeant Louis Selley is the legislative director for the American Legion, the largest group of U.S. military veterans.
The American flag is more than just a piece of cloth. It's representative of the sacrifices of American soldiers. It's representative of the triumphs and also of the struggles of the American people over the course of over 200 years.
Louis Selley hopes to persuade Congress to protect the flag through enactment of an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. That would require the support of 2/3 of the Senate and House of Representatives and 75% of the 50 states.
It's not just the veterans that would be voting on this, it's the American people, and again, overwhelmingly, we find that the American people would support such an amendment.
In 2006, researchers found that 56% of Americans supported a constitutional amendment to protect the flag. That is less than the high of 71% in a survey released shortly after the Supreme Court ruling in 1989. Free speech activists like Elliot Minkberg consider the flag-burning case settled. They do not see the kind of political force now that would lead to a constitutional amendment.
The American Constitution protects the right of all citizens to disagree, to peacefully protest, even some of the more important symbols of our republic, and that protection is what provides the freedom that Americans so cherish here and around the world.
But Lou Selle of the American Legion says his group will continue to fight
to make sure that the people now have the choice to vote on a constitutional change that will protect the symbol of the United States of America.
He hopes to persuade the next Congress to consider the Flag Amendment. Thousands of migrant workers have fled to Cambodia from Thailand. Many fear that Thailand's new military government will take steps against illegal workers. But as we hear from Ana Mateo, the government has denied ordering the expulsion of workers.
Eyewitnesses describe areas along the Thai-Cambodian border as disorderly and chaotic. Tens of thousands of undocumented Cambodian workers have been going home. Some say they heard unconfirmed reports of the use of force against illegal labor by Thailand's military government. Border security was tightened after the Thai armed forces ousted the civilian government on May 22nd. The military coup caused some migrant workers to leave Thailand. But in recent days, the numbers have risen sharply. Joe Lowry works for the International Organization for Migration. He says border stations are overcrowded.
About 75,000 people would have crossed over from Thailand, undocumented Cambodian workers. They are coming from different parts of Thailand, being at the border, and then being taken to their home provinces by a combination of army and military trucks and minibuses that we're hiring as well to get the most urgent cases home. Yeah, it's been quite a chaotic scene on the border for the last 48 hours, and it seems that it might continue for quite some time.
Since the coup, Thai police and officials are reported to have raided some migrant neighborhoods. They reportedly asked migrant workers to present identification cards. Last Sunday, the Thai military and foreign ministry denied there are plans to punish migrant workers. A military government official says the administration is taking steps to control migrant labor because of concerns over human trafficking and child labor. General Prayut Chan-o-cha is the head of the military government. He recently called for better workforce rules. He also said that warning illegal workers about their standing led to fears of a crackdown. In recent years, the International Labor Organization has supported a program set up to make regular Thailand's undocumented labor. The program created a system of work permits and national passports for migrant workers. Andy Hall studies migrant worker issues. He says an examination of policy is needed.
They've come out with this commission saying they're setting up this commission to address migration issues. I mean, I think it's a good thing because the migration is the policy in Thailand has been absolutely chaotic. Hundreds of thousands of migrants have been left without any policy.
Thailand's National Health Commission Office estimates there are as many as 4 million migrant workers in the country. At least 400,000 were from Cambodia and more than 2 million from Myanmar. Smaller numbers are from Laos. These migrants work in Thailand's industry, agriculture, and fishing sectors, areas often avoided by Thai nationals. I'm Ana Mateo.
From First Amendment rights to migrant workers in Southeast Asia, we give you our world every day as it is. It's time for us to step aside for two more Learning English programs. If economics and money interest you, stay right where you are. That's up next. At the beginning of the hour, we present the latest in world developments from the VOA newsroom. Thank you for spending some time with us today. This is VOA, Washington.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Many immigrants send small amounts of money, called remittances, home to friends and family. But those small amounts of money together add up to a lot. Consider that there are about 200 million international migrants. In 2013, migrants around the world sent $400 billion back to their home countries. That is much more than official aid to many countries. For some nations, it is the biggest provider of foreign exchange. Jean-Claude Cazadi and his wife Miriam came to the United States from the Democratic Republic of Congo. They quickly began sending money home after they arrived. They wanted to help family members left behind.
We believe in supporting each other. We believe in supporting our parent, specifically, and we believe in supporting our brothers and sisters.
Jean-Claude Cazadi is a doctor who works on HIV/AIDS for Catholic Relief Services in Maryland. He often visits the Democratic Republic of Congo, and he hopes he is helping Africans with his work. But he knows the $400 he sends to his parents every month is important. Economist Adolfo Barajas of the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, has studied remittances for 10 years. He has seen their effects on economies.
They've been growing tremendously. From 1990 to 2010, they grew more than sevenfold.
Mr. Barajas says a huge migration has driven this flow of money to countries around the world. But he says there are problems with governments receiving large amounts of money. They may use the money less effectively. Economists have said that remittances help families who receive them by increasing their income. But there is a concern that the income into a national economy will cause its money to increase in value. In turn, a country's exports can become more costly and less competitive. However, economists agree that remittances affect the receiving country's economy in good ways. Dilip Ratha is a remittance expert with the World Bank. He says remittances help improve people's lives.
They provide incomes, they provide a lifeline to people, they reduce poverty, they provide funding for business investments, human capital investments, education, health.
Economists say that private investors leave when countries are in conflict. But Dilip Ratha says remitters, like the Cazadis of the Democratic Republic of Congo, continue to send assistance.
Because that is precisely when the needs of the families left behind increases, and to meet those needs, migrants send more money home.
For Miriam and Jean-Claude Cazadi, it is a simple case of showing their parents that they have not forgotten them. And that is the Economics Report from VOA, Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic. From VOA Learning English, I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we hear new music from Cher Lloyd. We also tell about an unusual but popular monument in Washington, D.C. But first, we go to the movies to check out a family-friendly film that includes exciting action, but no violence.
These are my best friends. We were normal kids.
A couple of seconds ago, our phones went crazy. Whoa! You see
that? Hollywood movies targeted to families and children have gotten darker and more violent compared to those from the 1980s. A new family movie called Earth to Echo is trying to recapture that earlier style of action film. But it still includes modern touches. Katie Weaver explains.
The movie, Earth to Echo, has action, excitement, tension, and even a space alien. But it is also notable for what is missing, violence.
You'll never see much fighting, hand-to-hand combat. There aren't tank trucks, there aren't, like, guns or whatnot.
That is actor Ella Wahlstedt, who plays Emma in the film. Emma and her friends discover a strange telephone message. It is followed by a life-changing experience as they learn who sent the message and why. Director Dave Green says he wanted to make a movie like the ones he grew up watching.
I was making the movie for myself and the kid in me. So hopefully we've made a movie that appeals to a 31-year-old just as it would to a 12 or 13-year-old or anyone in the family.
There are very few movies these days that do that, says Wahlstedt.
I think it's a lost genre. You know, you see a lot of 80s movies and it's constantly compared to E.T. And it's similar in the sense that there's an alien, but at the same time, it has a bit of an edge just because of all the modern technology that's incorporated in it.
Earth to Echo includes social media. The story is told through the experiences of characters like Tuck. Actor Brian Astro Bradley plays Tuck, who experiences events through a video camera.
It's very today. You know, it's very today. Like, you had family movies that were either animated or, you know, it's not very relatable in real life, but this is relatable. Everybody films. You got Instagram, Vine, and technology is very relevant in the movies.
Dave Green says there is a reason why family-friendly movies are considered a lost field.
There has been a shift in tone in recent years to present movies as darker.
Adam Feinsilver saw Earth to Echo with his children in Los Angeles, California. He says there is a market for gentler movies the whole family can enjoy.
The market's there. I think that the kids are there. If you have a kid that likes a movie, you're going to find a million other kids that like the same movie. I think the problem that producers have is they're trying to bring something to the studios that the studios will greenlight. And the studios don't necessarily want to go with what kids are going to like. They're going to go with what's done well over the last few years.
Mr. Feinsilver says families don't necessarily want movies that are darker. He says they want good writing and a good story.
I want to go.
Whatever it is, we'll find out.
This is where the map says to go.
Washington, D.C. is famous for monuments that honor presidents, like the Lincoln Memorial, or soldiers, like the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. But a recent competition found a lesser-known memorial to be even more popular. This monument is not on the National Mall, like so many others. This monument stands in front of a fire station downtown. It is a sculpture of a partnership, a dog and a firefighter.
You know, it's a pretty great honor to be the top monument in D.C. It's quite cool. There's no other words to describe it. It's pretty cool.
That is Austin Weichel, the creator of the National Fire Dog Sculpture. He is a 25-year-old artist from the western town of Loveland, Colorado. Mr. Weichel says he became an artist because he has dyslexia, a reading disorder.
I have a very severe form of it, actually. You read a little bit slower, some numbers and words jump around. You may look at it correctly in your mind, but if you speak it or try to write it again, it will be jumbled.
Mr. Weichel says making art was easy compared to his struggle with reading. He found he had a special skill in shaping clay. He got very good at sculpting clay in high school. Mr. Weichel also worked at a bronze foundry. Foundries are factories where metal is shaped. Very hot fires melt the metal in large containers. Then it is poured into shapes or molds. Mr. Weichel began turning his own small clay statues into bronze at the foundry. But he also has another interest. Mr. Weichel is a volunteer firefighter.
I always was attracted to the fire department. I lived in Chicago right next to a fire department. I always remember going over there, meeting all the guys and everything, jumping on their truck and always aspiring to be a firefighter one day.
When he was 19, Mr. Weichel's Colorado Fire Department asked him to combine his two careers. Officials wanted him to make a statue to honor firefighters.
I mean, they said, hey, we're doing a new museum and we'd like you to do a piece of artwork for us. And they said life-size, and I almost lost it there.
Mr. Weichel's first life-size statue is a fireman reaching out to a child. It is called Follow Your Dream. Later, another firefighter suggested that Mr. Weichel make a sculpture to honor firefighters and their fire dogs. The sculpture, Ashes to Answers, was the result. The bronze representation is of a firefighter and a dog trained to smell possible causes of a fire. Dogs like Holly. The friendly Labrador Retriever is an arson dog. She helps investigator Mike Manzo search through the remains of suspicious fires. The two seek evidence of substances used to start fires.
She trusts me at fire scenes to search areas that most people probably wouldn't even go into to search. They're a very useful tool to get through a fire scene fairly quick, where a person with a mechanical detector in place of a canine nose would take hours, where we can go in and say 30, 40 minutes and search about a 3,000 square foot home.
Mr. Manzo says Ashes to Answers shows the teamwork a man and his dog need to have to find answers to an arson crime.
The canine is looking up at the firefighter's eyes and they're bond, even at a fire scene. The dog's looking for the handler to see what do we do next.
Bronze can exist for thousands of years, so Austin Weichel hopes his sculpture will be seen by many people. He says the sculpture shows his love for art and for the strong relationship between arson investigators and their dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Late is the second studio album from British singer Cher Lloyd. Anna Mateo has more on Lloyd and her new record.
Lonely, lonely, so you think that you know me. You're the only one who knows who I am. I decided tonight that I'm breaking all the chains on my throne of perfection. Could it be that easy?
Jackson from Cher Lloyd's album, Sorry I'm Late. The British singer-rapper released the record in late last month. Lloyd's fans are called brats because she says she has always been a little bratty. A brat is a self-centered person who misbehaves. It is a term most often used for children.
Make a wish, girl. You deserve it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Baby, I send the chick your way. Wish that I never did. Freaking perfect and 5'10". Just wanna punch your lip.
Cher Lloyd is just 20 years old. She has already shared a stage with pop superstar Taylor Swift. She said she was very nervous during that performance. Lloyd also opened some shows for singer Demi Lovato. Cher Lloyd said it was a great experience to perform for thousands and thousands of people every night. We leave you with Cher Lloyd singing Sirens from her album, Sorry I'm Late.
I carry the weight of you in my heavy heart. And the wind is so icy, I am numb. I carry the weight of you heading back to start.
June Sims. This program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
Follow the